This morning, God's Word comes to us from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. We are going to begin our reading at verse 14 and then read through verse 10 of chapter 5. Hebrews 4, beginning at verse 14. What we hear now is God's Word. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who, in every respect, has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obliged to offer sacrifices for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but he was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of the Psalter hymnals, the back section, page 81. This is the Belgic Confession of Faith, one of the three doctrinal standards of our church. This morning we're going to read Article 26. Now I recognize that Article 26 is one of the longer articles of the confession, but since this is truth that we have all confessed we believe, it is good for us to be reminded of that truth. So we are going to read this entire article this morning. Article 26, entitled Christ's Intercession. We believe that we have no access unto God, but alone through the only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who therefore became man, having united in one person the divine and human natures, that we men might have access to the divine majesty, which access would otherwise be barred against us. But this mediator, whom the Father has appointed between him and us, ought in no wise to affright us by his majesty, or cause us to seek another according to our fancy. For there is no creature, either in heaven or on earth, who loves us more than Jesus Christ, who though existing in the form of God, yet emptied himself, being made in the likeness of men and of a servant for us, and in all things was made like unto his brethren. If then we should seek for another mediator who would be favorably inclined toward us, whom could we find who loved us more than he who laid down his life for us, even while we were his enemies? And if we seek for one who has more power and majesty, who is there that has so much of both as he who sits at the right hand of God, and to whom hath been given all authority in heaven and on earth? And who will sooner be heard than the own well-beloved Son of God? Therefore, it was only through distrust that this practice of dishonoring instead of honoring the saints was introduced, doing that which they never have done nor required, but have on the contrary steadfastly rejected according to their bounden duty, as appears in their writings. Neither must we plead here our unworthiness, for the meaning is that we should offer, the meaning is not that we should offer our prayers to God on the ground of our own worthiness, but only on the ground of the excellency and worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose righteousness is become ours by faith. Therefore, the apostle, to remove this foolish fear, or rather distrust, from us, rightly says that Jesus Christ in all things was made like unto his brethren, that we might become a merciful, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And further, to encourage us to go to him, he says, having then a great high priest, who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. The same apostle says, having boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith. Likewise, Christ hath his priesthood unchangeable. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What more can be required? Since Christ himself says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. To what purpose should we then seek another advocate, since it has pleased God to give us his own Son as an advocate? Let us not forsake him to take another, or rather to seek after another, without ever being able to find him. For God well knew when he gave him to us that we were sinners. Therefore, according to the command of Christ, we call upon the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, our only mediator, as we are taught in the Lord's Prayer, being assured that whatever we ask of the Father in his name will be granted us. This is our confession of faith. Well, this morning we come to the end of this particular section of the Belgic Confession, a section I have called the Heart of the Confession and the Heart of the Gospel, as it deals with the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And we have spent a lot of time talking about that work of atonement, that work as our substitute, that one who gives us justification, who is part of our sanctification, that one who even affects the way that we worship. Everything about Jesus Christ is important to us. This morning we come to a very long article in the Confession about Jesus Christ and his intercession. Now I suspect if we were writing the Belgic Confession today, we would probably have spent more time on last week's article, on the article on worship and what is proper and what is not proper because of who Christ is. That's a relatively short article. 26 goes on and on about the intercession of Jesus Christ. And I can't help but wonder, they obviously valued this very, very highly. This work of Christ was important to them. How important is Christ's intercession to us? Or perhaps, maybe pessimistically, do we even know what Christ's intercession is? And why it is important for us? Why it is important to have Christ as our intercessor, as our advocate? Because without that, without this glorious part of the work of Christ, we would have no access to God. No access. It is only through the intercession of Christ that we can come to God. perhaps not something we think about a lot today, but an important part of our Christian walk, to know and to appreciate Christ's intercession. What do we mean, children, by an intercessor? What do we mean by an advocate? Well, an advocate or an intercessor is someone who speaks to someone else on our behalf. That's what we're going to talk about. Someone who speaks to someone else on our behalf. Maybe in your family, the older kids in the family decide they want to see if they can get Dad to take us all for ice cream. And so the older kids don't come and ask Dad, "Hey, Dad, take us for ice cream." But they go to the youngest. Hey, you go and ask Dad if he'll take us all for ice cream. Because they know that Dad just can't say no to his youngest daughter. And so if she comes to ask, certainly Dad will say yes. That's an advocate. That's an intercessor. The youngest daughter comes and asks the father on behalf of others. That's what we're going to talk about today. Oh, not a child, a young daughter asking her father, but the work of Jesus Christ, as he is the one who speaks to our Father in heaven on our behalf. Jesus Christ, our intercessor. Maybe one of the reasons I don't think a lot, perhaps you don't think a lot about Christ's intercession today, is because we miss the fact that we are in need of an intercessor. The broader evangelical church will often give us a picture of God that almost seems to be without the necessity of intercession. We hear about God who is a loving God, God who is a kind God, God who is a merciful God, God who is a gracious God, and all these things are true. But we tend to forget that in balance to that, in balance to God's love and mercy and grace, God is also a righteous God, and God is a holy God. A God who cannot stand to look upon evil. A God whose holiness we should almost fear. He's not just a friend and a buddy, a good loving guy. But God is righteous. And God is holy. In the Old Testament, they had a great appreciation for the holiness of God. When Moses saw that burning bush up on the mountain and he began to approach that burning bush and he heard the voice call out to him, "Stop, take off your shoes, the place you are standing is holy ground." Moses didn't just keep walking forward, but he recognized the holiness of the God who was speaking to him. When Israel was seeing the theophany of God on Mount Sinai, that thunder and that lightning on the top of Mount Sinai, Israel didn't say, "Hey, let's take a hike up the mountain and go visit God." What did they do? They fenced off the mountain. They recognized this was a holy God who in ways was unapproachable to them as they were. Even Isaiah, when he is called to be a prophet, and Isaiah gets that beautiful picture in Isaiah chapter 6. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke." And what did Isaiah do? "And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" When Isaiah is confronted with the holiness of God, he falls down before him. "Woe is me, I am undone." We have to keep that sense of who God is and our need for someone to bridge the gap between our fallen sinfulness and God's holiness. For we are fallen. We are a people of unclean hands. Our actions don't measure up to God's holy standard. We are a people of unclean lips. Think of some of the things that have come out of our mouths this past week. Our words don't measure up to God's holy standard. We are a people of unclean thoughts. What has gone through our minds this past week? What have we dwelt upon? But our sin is more than just our actions or our words or our thoughts. The sin is the matter of our hearts. It springs from there. We are those, when left to ourselves, who have cold and dark hearts, not warm to the things of God. There's a brokenness. How can we approach a holy God? How can we, who are sinful, who are darkness, approach one who is light? How is that need filled for us? Our scripture says in verse chapter 5, every high priest chosen among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God. God put a plan in place whereby there would be an intercessor. There would be an advocate. He was called the priest, the high priest, who would bring offerings, who would bring sacrifices on behalf of the people. He spoke to God on behalf of the people. He was the intercessor. He was the advocate. And that system lived for years throughout Old Testament history. But then Jesus Christ came. And chapter 4, verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We have a high priest. We have an intercessor. We have an advocate. Not an earthly priest anymore, but Jesus Christ, the eternal high priest. The one who still acts on behalf of God's people to make intercession for them. That's our need. Someone to speak to God on our behalf. And God fills and provides that need in Jesus Christ. At the time the confession was being written, there was some sense that even Christ yet was too holy for men to approach. And so rather than looking for an advocate in Jesus Christ, they looked for an advocate elsewhere, in other saints. And yet, our confession reminds us, for there is no creature, either in heaven or earth, who loves us more than Jesus Christ. Earlier in the confession, we believe we have no access into God, but alone through our only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who therefore became man, having united in one person the divine and human natures, that we men might have access to the divine majesty, which access would otherwise be barred against us. So we have one mediator, one only. It is Jesus' ongoing work as intercessor that allows us access to God. We talk a lot about the completed work of salvation, that Christ has done everything necessary to accomplish our salvation. There is nothing left for us to do. He Himself went all the way to the cross. He Himself offered Himself up to death that we might have life. Christ did it all. And I think it's easy for us to think, well, then all His work is done. And it is true that with regard to our salvation, all His work is done. But He has other work. The work of intercessor, the work of advocate. Christ right now is working on your behalf. Christ right now is sitting at God's right hand interceding for you. His work of intercession has not been completed. And He continues today. The work of atonement, complete. The work of intercession, ongoing. And who better to be an intercessor for us? Who better to speak to God on our behalf? One who loves us so much. One who loves us that he would give up his own life. If then we should seek for another mediator who would be favorably inclined toward us, who could we find? Who loved us more than he who laid down his life for us while we were his enemies? Jesus, the intercessor, loves you. He loves those for whom he died. And he is willing to bring your petitions, your requests to God himself because of his great love for those he saved. He has the power to be the intercessor. He has the authority. Our confession says, "For if we seek one who has power and majesty, who is there that has so much of both as he who sits at the right hand of God and whom hath been given all authority in heaven and on earth?" Our intercessor, our advocate, has the authority to speak on our behalf. For he has been granted that authority by God himself. Chapter 5, verse 4. "No one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made high priest, but was appointed by God." God appointed him to be our advocate. God appointed him to be our intercessor. And therefore, God will certainly hear him when he does that work. Our confession says, "And who will sooner be heard than the own well-beloved Son of God?" God will listen to his Son. God will listen to the appointed advocate sent to do that particular work, that we might have access to a holy, to a righteous, to a perfect God. This work of Christ gives us assurance, gives us confidence. It is for our blessing that Christ does this particular part of his work. Our scripture says, chapter 4:16, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us with confidence approach God's throne of grace. Confidence because we know God will hear us for the sake of the advocate. He will hear us because of Jesus' intercession. Kids, that's why when we pray in Jesus' name. Or we pray for Jesus' sake. That's not just a clue that the prayer is almost over. Okay, prayer is almost over. In Jesus' name, amen. No, what we're saying is, "Hear us, Lord, for we offer this to you, not in our own name, but we offer this to you through the advocate, the one you have chosen. Hear us in Jesus' name. Hear us not for our own sake, for our own worth, for who we are, but hear us for Jesus' sake. The sake of the advocate. Without Jesus' intercession, we have no access to God in prayer. Access only through the high priest. Access only through the intercessor. And the intercessor understands the concerns that we bring to God the Father. Maybe we might think, you know, I'm still afraid to bring these petitions, these requests to God, because perhaps the intercessor won't understand my situation, what I'm going through. Verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are." If we are struggling with a particular temptation, if we are struggling with a besetting sin, then don't say, well, I can't bring this to God because Christ won't understand what I'm going through. He was tempted as we are in every way. He knows temptation. He knows the power of temptation. Christ was tempted by the devil himself. He understands when we come to him and ask him to plead to God on our behalf. When we're going through times of sorrow, times of difficulty, when we weep before God and we pour out our concern and we're sorrowful and we say, maybe the intercessor won't understand. Christ himself wept. Christ himself wept at the loss of a friend, a loved one. He understands our sorrow. Maybe we feel alone. We feel like there's no one close to us, like our closest friends have rejected us, everyone has left us, even our family, it seems like. Will the intercessor really understand? Can he really bring this before God? Christ was betrayed by his closest friends, by his closest companions. On the cross, everyone left him. He understands our betrayal. He understands our loneliness and can bring that petition before God. Christ, the one who on the cross even cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? When we feel like God isn't listening, we feel like God has stopped turning his ear toward us, Christ understands. He is your intercessor. He is the one who is your advocate to bring your petitions, to bring your requests, to bring your prayers to God the Father. Without him, we have no access. Without him, heaven's gates are closed to us. But he came to do the work the Father gave him to do. He came to fully complete the work of redemption. He came to offer himself for each and every one of his people and secure their salvation. And that work of atonement he accomplished perfectly. His ongoing work of high priest, he also does perfectly. He perfectly takes our prayers, our petitions, when we don't even know how to pray, and brings them before God. Do you know this glorious Savior? This one who would give up himself, give up his life for you. If you know his glorious work of redemption, that he has offered himself on your behalf, then you also may know his glorious work of intercession and be confident and be assured. With confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, trusting in the intercessor to bring your petitions to God, the God who is able to answer according to all of his abundance. Oh, the glorious intercession of Christ, a blessing to us in our ongoing walk with God. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, for his work of atonement, which he perfectly accomplished, and for his work of intercession, which is also done in perfection. May we never cease to be amazed that we, through Christ, have access to you, the great God of heaven and earth, the God who made all that we see around us, the holy God, the righteous God. May we never seek our advocacy in anyone else, anyone on heaven or earth, but only through your appointed high priest, Jesus Christ. Lord God, may we all the more appreciate what you have done for us and continue to do for us in giving us access to you, our God and Father. O Lord, accept our praise for this glorious gift and hear our prayer, not for our sake, not for our words, but for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.